Got it. Okay. So there's been a lot of talk lately about, sorry, I'm just watching the recording go on. There's been a lot of talk lately about several things. One of them being the fact that the mayors of Campbell River and Port McNeill and Port Hardy weren't consulted. And the second one would be the need to have a plan to transition the workers that were involved. And Rachel Blaney actually added that we also need to focus on wild fish restoration. And anyways, what are your thoughts about this?
Just want to point out that I have heard that the industry was blindsided by this decision. People were surprised, shocked. But I just want to remind everyone that this isn't a surprise. This was explicitly stated in recommendations from the Cohen Inquiry that was tabled 8 years ago. And one of the recommendations stated that the farms in the Discovery Islands should be removed in 2020. So everyone knew that this was going to likely happen. So I think it's a little bit irresponsible for the industry to suggest that they were blindsided, and they should have been preparing for this a long time ago. They should have been preparing a sort of a transition to help their employees. But now we're just hearing cries from them about being blindsided. So I'm just not really clear on those sorts of statements coming from industry. I'd also like to clarify another thing that I've been hearing as well. About potentially 1,500 jobs being lost. Again, I gotta raise some questions about that. I do really feel for the few people that will potentially lose their jobs, but let's do some math here. So there are 18 farms are being transitioned out of that area. Many of those aren't even operational. I'll just estimate, let's just say 10, and I think this is a very safe estimate. 10 are operating. Say 5 people work on a farm. That's 50 jobs. Let's add another 50 for processing and transportation and sales. So that's 100. Let's just add another 100 on top there to be safe, and maybe another 100. That's 300 jobs. I'm just not sure where they're getting this 1,500 from. And to be quite honest, I've worked on this for almost 15 years, and we have never been able to get clarification on the industry's numbers with regards to how they calculate exactly their job estimates. So there's some questions around the accuracy of those claims as well. So not to diminish from the real tough situation that a few people are in, but I suppose we really need to look at the impacts of this industry on other sectors, like the commercial fishery. How many jobs have been lost because of losses in wild salmon due to parasites and diseases from fish farms? What about the wild wilderness tourism industry? How about, guides, local guides, both wilderness guides, recreational fishing guides? So, you gotta weigh both things here and both sides of the coin, I suppose.
I could be devil's
So, yeah.
advocate on that one. Can you
Sure.
prove there have been lost jobs in fishery, in fishing, or in ecotourism because of sea lice? I guess it would come down to, we're talking sea lice. Can you
Yeah, it could potentially be sea lice, parasites from farms, or viruses? And that's a very good question. I can't prove without a doubt, 100% certainty that there have been jobs lost because of fish farms. But we, you know, it's tough to prove anything with 100% certainty. So I would suggest that salmon farms are a contributing factor, and I don't think that's debatable, to wild salmon declines. And I'm not going to say that they're 100% responsible for the lost, those lost jobs, but are they a contributing factor? Yeah, I certainly believe so. And there's been a fair bit of science that shows that they contribute to wild salmon population declines.
We've sort of crossed that anyways. It's decided now, I think. Maybe I should.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so.
But what you're saying is that we could be looking at anything from a major economic impact, 1,500 jobs on Campbell River and Port Hardy and Port McNeil, to a major impact on a few families. And we don't actually know which. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just don't buy the 1,500 jobs number. I mean, like, unless you show me where those numbers are exactly coming from, does that, for example, do their calculations include, you know, the 5 minutes that the Tim Hortons guy sells a coffee to, you know, a fish farmer going to a fish farm, you know, like I'm assuming that those calculations include that sort of thing. And we just really need to get down to the bottom of this, instead of throwing around these frankly unbelievable numbers that the industry has done for, you know, a decade.
Okay. So far, the only person nobody's been able to give me a basis for that number at all, except for the industry. And all they do is say that there's 1,500. So who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just point out that, you know, other places in the world are recognizing that, you know, maybe open net salmon farming isn't the way to go. We're seeing large farms being established in the USA, land-based salmon farms. You know, there's one in Florida being built. There's a number on the East Coast, like Nevada. Closed containment farms are being planned. And so if, you know, we're going to miss the boat if we don't actually transition towards a more environmentally sustainable, you know, method of growing fish. So I have to say, we had 8 years, people knew about this. And, you know, it doesn't seem like there's been any planning that the industry took to deal with this potential risk. And, you know, I think that's a problem.
They've always, how do I put it? When it came down to the DFO findings and stuff like that, it seems like it always went, there were a few exceptions, like Christy Miller. Sometimes I had a hard time figuring out what she was saying, because she seemed to be saying one thing and all of a sudden she'd reverse herself. But for the most part, the DFO seems to have sided with the fish farms, so I can understand them being caught by surprise because they didn't get it their way this time. Boy, am I ever gonna get shot for that comment.
Yeah.
What do you think about? Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
What do you think about putting money into retraining these workers?
Yeah, I mean that's that. I guess that's not really my my focus. I mean, I kind of like focus on primarily the environmental impacts of and interactions between farm fish and wild fish. Should there be some sort of retraining program? You know, I think that a lot of people have been talking about this idea of transitioning this industry out of open nets onto land. So I think perhaps it could be encompassed in that. Perhaps there are some sort of offsets to setting up a land-based system that could be installed by the federal government. I'm not really sure the best way forward. That's kind of not my area of expertise, but I do know that there are jurisdictions around the world that are moving forward with these technologies. And there just seems to be this sort of resistance in especially Western Canada to this technology, primarily led by the industry, the open net industry. So I think we need to change. And I think perhaps maybe they're starting to see the writing on the wall, perhaps after this bitterness passes. Maybe we'll see that sort of transition, and that's what I'm hopeful for.
Did you have any comment about one of the objections would come from the four mayors, that they weren't consulted? They felt that they should have been part of the process. Did you have any comment on that?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, are they on par with the legal rights of First Nations in consultations? Is that what they're suggesting? I'm not really sure, because that's where it lied. The minister before this announcement said that they needed to consult with the local First Nations. I think it'd be kind of weird for her to say, oh, we need to consult with the local First Nations and some mayors. I mean, I'm not sure. There's probably a lot of people that perhaps wanted to be consulted. But legally, I think the First Nations really did require that. And they were in support of removing these farms. That's where it lies.
I think the communities were saying that because there would, it really depends on this 1500, you know, a lot of this stuff, if we're talking about a huge impact on their communities, then they're saying that they should have been part of the process in deciding. But if it's a small thing, then it isn't really that big a deal. But assuming that there's other impact, they're saying that they should have been consulted, and whatever that means. I mean, whatever consulting means, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean deciding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm just going to go back to, we need substantiation for that number. You can't just throw around these numbers, but look at how many farms are out there, 18. And I doubt that half of them are active at any one time. I'm just being very conservative in my estimate, right?
They've admitted that, but they've been saying 19 for ever since the day it passed, it suddenly went to 19 from 18 in the number of farms.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's been reported in the news 18, but I haven't seen that clarification.
Okay. Did you have anything you'd like to add?
I think it's time to actually recognize that. Yeah, this is a hardship for a few people, but at the same time, we see wild salmon populations in decline, many of them across the province. And I think, removing fish farms on their migration routes will give them a fighting chance. And wild salmon populations and the species are quite resilient when given that chance. So I hope to see that some of these populations bounce back and the ecosystems flourish and rebound, and with that, hopefully that kind of has reoccurring effects on, you know, our economy and tourism and fishing. So, yeah, and I really want to thank the minister for making this decision. I recognize that it was a very tough decision, and they did deliberate for quite a while on this. Yeah, but I think it was the right decision, and I really appreciate her work on this.
Okay. Thank you very much. And
okay. Yeah, thanks, Roy.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.